So instead of asking, when is someone going to solve this problem, they said, well, what can I do? What can I do today to contribute? How can I help solve the problem?
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebestev, Taichus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire true wealth. We believe that there are actually three components to living with true wealth. Number one, living and having purpose. Number two, having impact on other people. And number three, leaving a legacy, really having impact so much so that it transcends even our own life. That's at the core, the essence of who we are and really what we try to do with our clients and through our company here in Wilmer, Minnesota. If you want more information on our firm or to check us out, go to our website, taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a good friend of mine. He's a guy by the name of John G. Miller. Now, John is the author of the wildly successful book, The QBQ, which stands for The Question Behind the Question. And this book and John's message really is all about personal accountability, taking responsibility for our actions and the things that happen in our life. And if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey, which you probably are, if you've listened to this show before or are familiar with our firm, we're huge fans of Dave Ramsey and his approach to life and money. In fact, we're the local ELP here in the Wilmer area. Even my personal story of leaving my television career, having the ability to leave and walk away and repurpose myself, I can attribute a lot of that back to Dave Ramsey, his books and his principles, many of which my wife and I executed way back in 2007. Anyway, if you happen to join Dave Ramsey's team in Nashville, Tennessee, the QBQ, John Miller's book, is actually required reading for everybody on staff. John's mission is really to end blame, entitlement, and victim thinking. Now, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with living with purpose? Well, I would suggest to you, living with purpose and having impact is not about us. Our lives are not meant to be about us. In fact, when you think about purpose and mission, by definition, they cannot be about us. But when we blame and have victim thinking, in essence, what we're doing is we're taking a specific situation or our lives in general, and we're making that all about us. And you cannot have both. In this podcast, John discusses two key phrases that will change your paradigm on work, your family, and your life. And he speaks directly to young adults, parents, and baby boomers alike in this podcast. You're going to love this interview. Here's my chat with John G. Miller. So let's just start with the easy stuff. QBQ, what's it stand for? How did you get into this thing of self-accountability?
QBQ stands for the question behind the question, and talking about getting rid of three traps in the human life: blame, victim, and entitlement thinking. They're really kind of twins, victim and entitlement thinking, and procrastination. Victim thinking, blame, procrastination. Those are the traps we all fall into, and the QBQ, or the question behind the question, Jared, is simply a tool to help us all eliminate those traps from our life. And how did I start doing it? Well, that's good history, because it proves the QBQ content and the QBQ book and everything on the QBQ.com website is extremely organic, meaning it came from real people. I was selling training, leadership training, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, starting in 1986, did it for a decade, got pretty good at it, was the top sales rep for the last 5 years that I represented a training company out of Georgia, but I was the rep in Minnesota. And I was selling training to executives, which means I was sitting at training sessions with execs. And if I do the math right, I think I probably sat in sessions for about 10,000 hours over 9.5 years. And you can't help but pick something up. And what I started to hear was executives, middle managers, even the frontline people asking really lousy questions. Why do we have to go through all this change? When is someone going to train me? Who made the mistake? Why can't he give us the vision? When are we going to get good people? And I remember one day I thought, wait a minute, what if we stopped and turned that question around and asked the question behind the question, the QBQ? So I took this little idea that I came up with in my head, went over to Little Canada, Minnesota, North St. Paul, went to a company called St. Jude Medical, one of the most successful firms in the nation, where I had a relationship with a VP or two. I taught the QBQ. I came back 3 months later, Jared, and they were using it. Hmm. And if you know anything about the training business, most stuff never gets used.
Yeah.
They were using it. So soon after that, I left the training company I represented, went off on my own, started speaking about QBQ. And fundamentally, what does it do for a person? It puts us on a higher path of personal accountability. So if your listeners get nothing else out of this podcast, the question behind the question, the QBQ is a tool that enables me to practice personal accountability. And that's how I eliminate blame and victim thinking, entitlement, and procrastination.
What did this company experience? Since they came back and they were using it, what did they tell you? What was the result of their employees?
Well, it was one of those small moments in life. I was back visiting the VP of operations, and the HR director was in the meeting, and we were just chatting because, you know, I sold leadership training to them about 4 years, so I really knew these folks well. And they were discussing a problem they were having in their business. And every organization, whether it's nonprofit or government or corporate or families, there are problems. And at one point, the director of HR turned to the VP of operations and said, wait a minute, we need to ask the question behind the question. And the other guy said, yeah, that QBQ John taught us. And so then they started using what I had shared 3 months earlier. So instead of asking, when is someone going to solve this problem, why don't they take care of this? They sat there and said, well, what can I do? What can I do today to contribute? How can I help solve the problem? So the QBQ helped them take ownership of the problem instead of blaming others around them. It was a good moment.
Yeah, that's like an amazing tool for a leader, too, because as I study leadership in our own ways, we're all leaders, whether we're in managerial positions or just being a father or a husband or a mom, we're all in leadership positions. It turns everything back to you. And as a leader in whatever sphere you're in, that's a phenomenal question to ask, right?
It sure is. See, anything that takes me back to looking in the mirror,
yeah,
and being accountable. I mean, I get this question once a week. Somebody on Facebook or LinkedIn will say, hey, John, why don't you send 536 QBQ books to Washington? You know, let's get 475 to the House of Reps, and let's get 100 to the Senate and 1 to the Oval Office. And trust me, listeners, it has nothing to do with Trump. No matter what president has been in office for all the years I've been in the speaking and training business, somebody has said, John, send the QBQ book to the Oval Office and to Congress.
Yeah.
So if you just try to imagine a country where politicians go in front of the camera and said, I was wrong, I made a mistake, what can I do now to do my best to solve this problem? I think the whole nation would faint.
Absolutely.
If we saw a politician do that.
Right.
Now you bring it back to organizations, whether it's the CEO or the sales manager or the receptionist. When individuals start asking the QBQ the question, and the question, what can I do? As opposed to, why don't they handle this? When am I going to get a break? Who dropped the ball? Everything is better.
When I look at this, you know, just from the outside, and I'm guilty of this too. Trust me, this isn't like, oh, I've got this all figured out.
No,
it's true. It's true. I've made a few mistakes in my life. But when you look at it from the outside, it's a very selfish, arrogant way to look at life in general. And people have this, you know, blaming / victim type of mentality. Would you agree?
Selfish. A lot of stuff that we do in life as humans is selfish. I mean, we're born selfish.
Right.
I mean, it is narcissistic or selfish to think the government should take care of me.
Right.
It is selfish to think that my family should bail me out of my bad choices. It's selfish to blame people in my life for my results. I mean, the opposite of this selfishness that we're just kind of kicking around for fun would be standing up like an adult and saying, I own my decisions, I own my results, I own my life, and any trouble I've gotten myself into, I need to get myself out of. I can't rely on my mom, my dad, the government, my boss, my coworkers. It really is all about me. My wife gave me a T-shirt that says it's all about me. I don't think it's a positive marital statement that day.
No. Congratulations.
Jared, thank you. Jared, I got to tell you, I looked at that T-shirt that day and we had a laugh. And I said, that's what I teach. Now, bear with me. Not in a narcissistic focus where it's all about me.
Right.
But see, we find in organizations, people actually hide behind the team. They hide behind the team with things like, well, the team didn't get it done. The team didn't have enough resources. But nobody on the team cared as much as I cared. All of that is blame and victim thinking. When I turn it around and say, wait a minute, it's not about the team. It's about me, hang on, supporting the team. It's about me being my best today. It's about me solving problems. It's about me helping the team move forward. That's what 2BQ is all about.
Right.
What can I do today to make a difference? How can I change me? What can I do to be my best? And every time I ask these 2BQs, and if you replay this podcast, you'll notice that every time I'm given a 2BQ here, it contains the word I. It never contains you or they. It's about me taking accountability for my life.
Yeah.
That is really exciting stuff.
I could see somebody coming up and then tearing into you after you talk. Has that ever happened?
Well, a couple thoughts come to my mind because I've done 1,000 speaking engagements over 20 years or more. One of two things happens. Either people still think it's for others. They say, hey, this is great. I'm going to take the 2BQ book home and give it to my grown son because, you know, he's not doing what I think he should be doing.
Right.
So they still think it's for someone else. Hmm. Or sometimes, once in a blue moon, I'll get an angry review on Amazon. Now, we have a 4.5-star rating, 750 reviews on Amazon. So we've got a very high rating, but once in a while we get a 1-star, and the 1-stars always have a theme. The theme is basically somebody at work had the book given to them, and they resented it. Now, there's nothing wrong with handing out a book, but if you're going to be a leader and hand out a book, you need to say, hey, I've read this book 3 times. I'm working on me. Hear
right.
the difference?
Yeah.
I'm working on me, not hand the book to your staff and say, hey, you need this. And that's the theme. Whenever I see a 1-star on Amazon, if someone's angry because somebody pushed the book in their face on accountability and said you need it.
Right. Is there like a magical statement you can say to people that are kind of struggling with this? Or is it just trying to like basically kind of pound the message into them to say this is bigger than just about you? What is there like a magic statement you've come up with to tell people that you tell them and it kind of clicks in their brain? Do you have that magic wand statement?
Well, let me answer a good question with a little longer answer. You probably have heard of a guy named Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey signed the 2BQ book years ago, read half of it in the airport, decided he better buy it since he had just read half of it standing in the airport bookstore. So he read it, had someone contact me. The short story is I've been on the Dave Ramsey show 13, 14 times. But, you know, hey, who's counting? And I was on his Fox TV show a few times when he had that. And 2BQ is required reading for all of Dave Ramsey's staff. Now, why do I share that? Because every time I'm on an interview with Dave, he says, John, what's the number one lesson, the number one takeaway people have from 2BQ, whether they see you speak or read the book or go through your training? And I say, Dave, it's this. I can only change me. So if you want a magic statement, it's working with anybody who's frustrated, angry, doing that finger pointing, playing that victim. Hey, people aren't taking care of me. I deserve more support. And if you challenge them with who can you change, they will eventually, unless they really are suffering with some real big mental roadblocks, they will come around to realize I can only change me. And once you get somebody into a position, mentally and emotionally, saying I can only change me, then you have something to work with. As long as people are looking outward, outside themselves, for answers, and trying to change others, they're not going to get very far in life.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I like that. That's a great statement. That applies to so many things. You started doing curriculum for students, and you have been in front of so many people, young and old. How does this curriculum or this idea or this philosophy apply specifically to younger folks and even students?
Well, Kristen, we have 7 kids. Kristen is our oldest. She's in her mid-30s. She lives in Maple Grove, Minnesota, Jared. And she has been on my team for 9 years. It's hard to believe. I put her on my team at age 25. Because here's the key. During college, when she was even younger, she'd go out to a high school and go into a math class, and the teacher would scrounge together $100 out of petty cash or something, and or some fund, and they'd give her some cash so she could teach 2BQ to the high schoolers. Because kids who succeed are no different than adults who succeed. They take ownership for their results. So if they get a bad grade, they don't blame their friends, their teacher, the curriculum, they say, what could I have done to have studied harder? So Kristen, now 35 years old, 9 years on the team, she no longer speaks to youth much because most of our business is with corporate. So she goes all over corporate America teaching the 2BQ. But I often think about how it started. It started with her teaching kids the 2BQ. So out of that, we've created a curriculum for schools called I Own It, Building Character Through Personal Accountability. And we got the title, I Own It, from a superintendent of schools here in Denver. We were just having breakfast with him one day, and he casually said, Well, you know, I've been doing this 30 years, and the best students I've ever seen say I own it.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it. I own it. I own my grades. I own my results. I own my friendships. I own my relationships. I own my athletic results. I don't blame the referee. That's another story.
Yeah. That's a whole other
anyway,
podcast as well.
Right. So, interestingly enough, to your question, QBQ does the same thing for a 16-year-old as it does for a 46-year-old. It gets us out of the blame mode and into that accountable mode.
Have you noticed a difference? And again, I'm just kind of shooting in the dark here because I'm just kind of thinking as you're talking. Is there a difference with, I know that the QBQ is the same for an 18-year-old compared to a 58-year-old, but have you seen differences in just life experiences from somebody who's older, who's younger? Are they kind of asking the same wrong questions, or do you see themes throughout corporate America, older folks versus younger folks?
Well, it's been proven that the older folks, however you define them,
right. I'm not going to say a number.
Yeah, I am 59.
No, that's young.
But the one reason, thank you. One reason some employers love hiring that older person is, guess what? They show up, and they show up on time, and they care to do good work, and they've learned to interact with human beings. They're polite, they're friendly, usually they're respectful. I asked a Lowe's general manager a few years ago. I said, "Max, what's your biggest people problem?" And he said, "Getting them to show up." And he was frustrated with the younger generation. So I'm not here to pick on millennials. I mean, I have 7 kids and they're all millennials, so we're not here to beat up the young people. But some of the themes I've seen is the older, quote-unquote older generation quickly embraces this message of ours called personal accountability, personal responsibility. Because I think just through life, Jared, they've learned that pointing fingers and blaming and whining doesn't get people anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think probably the biggest key here, if you really want to spend another moment on it, is the entitlement thing.
Hmm.
The entitlement thing. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but, you know, in my day, we graduated from college. We secured a job with Cargill like I did out of Cornell University. We got married. We rented an apartment. Then we bought a dog. Then we bought a house. And then we had a kid. That was kind of the sequence of life. I didn't go to London, England, until I was 36.
Wow.
And now I run into people on the road who are 28, and they're saying, "Well, you know, we're going to go take a month and travel the world before we have kids." So the priorities have changed.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean it's good or bad. It just means we're dealing with a different mindset.
Right.
But even if you're a 20 or 30 something, you can embrace QBQ and say, "Okay, what can I do to be my best?" A Minnesota client laughed at me a few months ago because one of the 20-somethings came to them and complained, "You haven't given me business wisdom. You haven't given me business acumen." Well, if you look at all that stuff, well, that kind of stuff comes with time. And the 26-year-old was frustrated because the manager hadn't handed wisdom to him yet. Hey, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
You've got to gain it yourself.
That's right.
So the difference in the generations, I would say, simply is the older folks maybe more quickly embrace QBQ, but I've talked to a lot of young people in the business world, and they nod their heads. They understand blaming is bad.
Yeah. You know, I recently spoke to some high school kids, which is typically not my key audience. And what resonated with them, I think, I talked a lot about being able to say no today so you can say yes tomorrow, and having them understand that if you say yes to everything today, those decisions are going to affect you down the road. And I said, "I'm not mad at you if you say yes to everything. If you want to go to school for 15 years and rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans and travel the world and have every gadget, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. But then 10 years down the road, don't wonder why you're basically a slave to a paycheck in a bank, because that's what your life is gonna be." And after having some feedback, that statement kind of resonated with them, and I was like, I get that. That's just kind of the mentality with younger folks, and I see that difference. That's a great way to put that. I appreciate that.
Well, there's something with societal messages that are being sent every day. The other day, my wife and I saw a commercial for a company, and it said, "What the credit cards don't tell you is we can help you reduce your credit card debt by 90%. And my wife and I looked at that commercial and thought, "Now, wait a minute. You went out and bought furniture you really didn't need.
Right.
And now you're going to get some third-party company to get you off the hook for what you owe."
Yep.
No accountability there. But that's kind of the message that society sends. And I'm guessing 60-year-olds are more resistant to that. You know, you have a bill, you got to pay your bill. But you've got young people who are more malleable, and they're listening to these society messages. And unless they have good parenting, they're going to have a hard time fighting some of these messages.
You mentioned parenting. You wrote another book that focuses more about this QBQ question and parenting. Again, is it the same type of question? Does it apply the same way, or is it a little bit different?
Certainly. Here's what happened. Over the years, I'd go speak, let's say, at State Farm, and I'd be done. And 80% of any audience, as you know, has kids. So as people would come up to me, and they go, oh, man, this was really good. I'm going to use it at home with my son, with my daughter.
Yeah.
And then finally they started saying, do you have it in a parenting format? Because readers and buyers and learners like to have it in a specific format or topical genre. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but they kind of want it QBQ for parenting. We didn't have QBQ for parenting for the longest time. Now we do. It's called Raising Accountable Kids. Raising Accountable Kids. You can buy it anywhere. And it's simply about getting the parent to understand this truth. My child is a product of my parenting, period. No. It's not Hollywood. It's not Trump. It wasn't Obama. It's not Congress. It's not the church. It's not the youth leaders. It's not the schools. I am fully accountable for my children, and they are a product of the way I have parented them or am parenting them. And the other truth in this book that we teach is parenting is a learned skill, and Jared, that is so critical to understand.
Yeah.
Because way too often parents are winging it, or they're on Facebook asking their peers to help them solve a problem. And we're thinking, wait a minute. Go find some gray-haired parents that have succeeded and sit at their feet and learn, ask them questions, gain from their wisdom. But they don't do that. The young parents are all on Facebook to solve problems all by themselves. I don't want to say it's the blind leading the blind, but I do believe the best young parents go to the older parents they trust and say, hey, how would you handle this situation? We can learn from others.
Yeah, and it's a great book. You sent me the book a couple of months ago. My wife and I read it. It is great. And I'll spare you all the detail. I have three small kids, 6, 4, and 2. And our two-year-old, holy moly, that child, we'll just leave it at that. But we've had to, my wife and I have looked at each other and said, what's wrong with this child? You know, what
wrong question.
Exactly. I know. And then we get busted. And we've actually had that conversation at night to say, like, okay, what do we need to do? Or what have we done or not done that we have a two-year-old that she's great, and we love her to death, and she's a wonderful baby. But my goodness, we have to apply a lot of this, and a lot of it comes down to what we are doing or not doing. So I appreciate the message. And again, I think it's a very it's a message that scales so many demographics and age groups, but is so applicable, and even to government. I love how you bring that up. That is great. I think you're right. I think we would all our chins would hit the floor if somebody went on TV and started like bowing up to their mistakes in Congress. But yeah, good stuff.
Well, you know, that really is an example of not just accountability, but humility.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You see so little humility.
Yeah, yes.
You see so little humility in the marketplace today, either business or politicians or entertainment or sports stars. That it's amazing. I'm about to write a blog about Aaron Judge, the Yankee superstar who's a rookie at 25. And if he exudes nothing else, he exudes humility.
Yeah.
And the people aren't chasing him down the street just because he's good. They're chasing him down the street because of that humility, that
yes.
humble attitude, that contrite spirit. And every time we see it in the world, we go, whoa, that's amazing.
Yes.
Well, it's too bad we see it so rarely, but when we see it, it really stands out.
It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very contagious. And I think that you're
yeah.
absolutely right. And as we are all leaders in our own respective, you know, circles of life, and that quality is so contagious. And so I think for, again, anybody listening to, no matter where you are a leader in your world, boy, that is a phenomenal quality. And boy, what a contrast. You know, we talked about selfishness, narcissism versus humility, owning up. And taking full responsibility, and it separates the waters of attitude out there, and you're spot on with your stuff. So, John, I'll let you go here. Where can people find you?
Pretty simple, qdq.com, qdq.com. Through there, they can sign up, and they can join us on Facebook and like our page, and go to LinkedIn and follow me on Twitter. But qdq.com is where we present our speakers, our training, and our books.
Great stuff. Couldn't encourage people more to go check it out. QBQ.com. I'll put links in the show notes below. John, thanks so much for your time today. Keep up the great work.
Jared, thank you.
All right, take care. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with John G. Miller. Again, if you want more information on John and his book, The QBQ, just go to QBQ.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, go to our website, TagesFinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. It's in the upper right-hand corner of the screen for your free gift just for listening here today. And as usual, big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.